This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The television version of this show airs on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. As WikiLeaks released private emails from the Democratic National Committee shedding light on the inner workings of the path to Hillary Clinton's nomination, U.S. officials openly declared they think it's all a Russian plot. An October 7th article in the New York Times entitled U.S. Says Russia Directed Hacks to Influence Elections quotes National Intelligence Director James Clapper saying, "We believe, based on the scope and sensitivity of these efforts, that only Russia's senior-most officials could have authorized these activities." After Clapper's accusation, WikiLeaks released its latest trove of Clinton campaign correspondence that are centered on emails from her campaign chair, John Podesta. Podesta pointedly tweeted in response to the leak, quote, "I'm not happy about being hacked by the Russians in their attempt to throw the election to Donald Trump." Well, are the WikiLeaks revelations all a Russian plot to help elect Donald Trump in the U.S.? Or are the Democrats blaming a convenient bogeyman, echoing our historical Cold War-era tactics? Joining me to help answer that is Kevin Gostola. He is the managing editor of Shadowproof Press. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure. He's been writing about this issue. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Thank you.
So as far as you can tell, what evidence does Clapper and anybody else in the Obama administration have that this isn't just WikiLeaks obtaining these internal emails from, you know, the various sources that it usually does, but that in fact it's all a plot of the Russian government?
Well, so far there has been no specific evidence put forward by the Obama administration to substantiate that the Russian government or the Kremlin or Vladimir Putin himself is personally involved in using WikiLeaks in order to make it possible for Donald Trump to win the presidency. So it's important to point out that you have this statement that was put out by James Clapper. I'll also say that Jay Johnson, the head of Department of Homeland Security, or just the Department of Homeland Security, was in on this statement as well. But the statement that came out accusing WikiLeaks of being part of a Russian masterminded plot did not have the FBI signed on to it. And the FBI has put out a much more oblique and muted response to the hacking of Podesta's email, saying they're investigating, but they're basically saying they're aware of an array of cyber intrusions and they come from multiple different locations and they're trying to figure out who these actors are who are committing these hacks.
And so just parsing Clapper's statement, he basically said that only Russia's senior-most officials could have authorized these activities. I mean, that is, it's not a statement of fact. It's kind of a wild guess.
Yeah, it's a supposition. And it's very similar, I would say, for people who know their history. We know that J. Edgar Hoover, when he was upset that there were new left activist groups, or when there were left-wing activist groups in the 60s that were organizing, we know that he delegitimized them by suggesting that foreign actors were involved in making them successful movements, or what, however they were being impactful against the government. And so I view this similarly, that they need to delegitimize WikiLeaks. They're directly choosing to undermine their ability to spread information about the Clinton campaign that undermines the narrative that the campaign wants out there about Hillary Clinton. And perhaps there's something going on that they're personally concerned that this material could be damaging enough to position Donald Trump so that he would win the presidency. And I'm not going to claim that I'm not concerned that Donald Trump would be president, that wouldn't be something that would be hugely problematic and troubling to me, and it's a troubling to a lot of people, especially progressives. There is no evidence that Russia is involved and behind this material. What we are doing is just engaging in journalism and scrutinizing somebody who could be in a position of power after the election.
So how much of the sort of blame Russia aspect of this is making hay of the fact that Trump has openly lauded Putin, Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, as somebody he admires, and that Putin himself has also sort of fed into this idea that he would much prefer Trump as president than Clinton? You know, it's sort of this convenient thing that by association that's just there for the Democrats to be able to use and doesn't look like they've held back.
Yeah, I think that the fact that there has been a sort of air of camaraderie between the two during the election makes it easy for this claim to be made about WikiLeaks somehow being part of a Russian masterminded plot. But I will say that I think that the reason why Donald Trump has this attitude toward Vladimir Putin is because there's not a whole lot of people in the world who actually would be willing to respect him. And he's thinking that, you know, Hillary Clinton has these other leaders in various countries, you know, whether they be in Saudi Arabia or Israel or other places of the world that want to work with her. If Vladimir Putin's going to suggest that I might be a statesman if I were elected, that's something I need to take advantage of in order to make people see that I could be a credible leader. So it's, you know, it's not clear. And one of the statements he made during the recent debate, I thought was sort of noteworthy in the sense that he's saying he really doesn't know much about Russia and that he doesn't really have investments in Russia. And as far as I can tell, that's rather believable. I mean, he doesn't really know much about the world at all. And for the fact that Vladimir Putin would actually choose Donald Trump as the person to try and seize some kind of power and meddle in our elections, like that to me strains belief. It's rather laughable that Vladimir Putin would be choosing Donald Trump as his way into the White House.
However, of course, relations between the U.S. and Russia have deteriorated significantly under the Democrats, under the last 8 years of Obama, which is, and you know, and you can sort of see this on the Syria front and other international affairs some years ago around Russia's involvement in the Ukraine, etc. So certainly the Democrats have not made many attempts to befriend Russia, and it's been quite the opposite.
We've seen a decline, and it's very remarkable that we've had an inversion. Back in 2012, it was Mitt Romney who you would probably hear talking about how we need to be aggressive towards countries like Russia, probably talking about how, you know, there needed to be some threat of force and that we shouldn't do diplomacy first. But in this case, we're seeing with Hillary Clinton and other Democrats this extreme reluctance to put diplomacy first with Russia, to say that we're just going to, you know, treat them as some kind of partner that can resolve conflicts. And instead, Hillary Clinton has openly boasted for the past 1 to 2 years in her campaign events that she is going to be aggressive towards Vladimir Putin.
What about the press? Let's talk about how U.S. mainstream media has uncritically repeated claims by Clapper and other intelligence officials in the U.S. You know, when they might ordinarily, if it was a different country, if it was a different circumstance, might be much more scrutinizing, might apply higher journalistic standards. I mentioned the New York Times article, but it's not just the Times, right?
Yeah, so the Associated Press ran with this statement that was put out by Clapper and the Department of Homeland Security. And so, yeah, it's important. I think what's really critical to push here is this fact that all these organizations recognize there's some kind of value in going through these emails from John Podesta's hacked email account. So right now, for this entire week, you can find dozens, if not hundreds of stories from outlets that are mining these emails for details about how Clinton has funded and run her campaign over the past year and a half. And so it's valuable to them, and yet they're making these allegations without any substantiation and without any skepticism that it's possible that this is part of a Russian plot. Well, I have news for them that you're aiding this Russian plot if you in fact believe that WikiLeaks is somehow part of this thing. So to me, it's a really weird, strange dynamic that you can have them believing that this information is valuable, but at the same time, they're actively undermining their work by suggesting that they're feeding into some kind of Putin plot. I mean, at some point, I really think that the New York Times or the Associated Press or Washington Post with resources need to do critical journalism to unpack where this propaganda or these allegations are coming from in order to give us the truth about whether this is actually happening. Because the one final point I'll make on this note is that when we have a terrorist attack, it doesn't take long for them to give us some kind of shred of evidence about where it might be originating, because most Americans want to know why people have died within the country. And I think second to that would be having a foreign government being involved in this, that they would want to find out the truth of who was undermining the government.
Now, it's hard to sort of speculate about WikiLeaks' own motivations. You know, they've made it very clear that they don't care about political considerations, elections, et cetera. They have been pretty, Julian Assange, the chief editor of WikiLeaks, who's been holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK for a very long time now, makes it really clear that nobody is sort of off limits. But as far as you can tell, would getting information from Russian government sources, would that not make WikiLeaks in its own eyes a tool of governments, something that it sort of sees as anathema? It right from the start, WikiLeaks, whether you like it or not, whatever your opinion of it is, has been very critical of governments, any governments, first and foremost, right?
Yeah. So the one thing I have to say before answering that question is that they advertise that they have a submission system, which means when people submit information, they do not know exactly where it's coming from. That's what Julian Assange says about WikiLeaks.
I see. So it is possible that a government or an official from a government could feed it information and just obscure that fact.
Yeah. So there's that point. And then the other point is that when we're talking about the government saying that they believe this information has to have come from senior officials tied to the Russian government, that's the only way you could have hacked this email account. What they're not telling the public is that there are very real ways that you can do what's called spoofing your IP address or the location of where you are connected to the internet, so that you can make it look like you're connecting from Russia when in fact you could actually be in a Starbucks in Rhode Island or some other part of the United States. So we don't actually know right now where and how these cyber intrusions have happened, but I will say that if it was ever clear and there was evidence that WikiLeaks was getting this information from the Russian government, and that they actually knew and they were proceeding in some kind of conspiracy with the Russian government, then yes, I absolutely agree with the premise of your question that would undermine their brand or undermine the sort of role that they've played in making information available and trying to force government transparency throughout the world.
And we should also sort of stop and note the fact that even if, sort of regardless of where these leaks came from, what their motive might be, is anybody, as far as you know, among the Democrats actually taking issue with the content of the leaks? I mean, in the end, what has been leaked is really what was said. I mean, these are real, this is real correspondence. And it seems as though pointing to Russia as being behind it is an attempt to obscure the content of the emails.
Yeah, absolutely. They've lost control of the narrative. And so people who are spokespeople for the campaign, like Brian Fallon, are getting into wars with WikiLeaks on Twitter, going back and forth. And the reason why is because they've lost control of their message. And if you read these emails every single day, it's about how can we make sure that Hillary Clinton's message is getting to the press? If that means not taking questions from the media, then so be it. That's what we may have to do. And so it's quite remarkable. These exchanges, the reason why they keep deflecting them and everything. Sorry, I have to pause for a moment. The debate, I want people to think about when they watched Hillary Clinton in the debate talking with Donald Trump and everyone about this fact that she was asked a question about one of the emails that was released by WikiLeaks, and someone in the audience who put forward a question asked what this thing of like whether she has a private position or a public position, and that stemmed from a Podesta email. And she paused for a moment and hesitated, and then she continued. And I believe that was because she was realizing that she was about to admit that there was something authentic about those emails, that they aren't forged, they're not fabricated emails, as a lot of people who are, I guess, liberals are suggesting right now. We've had actual people in media, like MSNBC's Joy Reid, signing off on this idea that these are forgeries, and there's no evidence at all of that. And Hillary herself actually addressed an email in a debate.
I mean, you know, some of the emails are quite sort of banal. There's risotto recipes from John Podesta. I mean, the fact that WikiLeaks would forge that is just kind of bizarre. It's clearly a sort of big, broad net that captured email correspondence and was dumped and made public. And you're right, there's just a lot of interesting stuff out there about cozy relationships with folks in the media, cozy relationships with groups like MoveOn.org, private opinions on foreign policy. In our next story, we're going to be talking about the fact that the Clinton campaign essentially admitted in these emails that they know that Qatar and Saudi Arabia are providing clandestine financial and logistical support to the Islamic State. So it's certainly quite revealing what is said behind doors. And of course, then there's the whole issue of how the Clinton campaign undermined Bernie Sanders' candidacy, which people are still upset about. We would be seeing a whole different election cycle if Sanders had actually been given the chance to fight a fair fight with his candidacy. So certainly this is not to take away from the content of those emails, which are quite revealing. Well, finally, Kevin, what's the best way for people to get an understanding of what is in these emails? Should they just go to WikiLeaks? Are there journalists that you know of who are analyzing them bit by bit?
Well, sir, I've been analyzing them bit by bit. And I've published three or four stories in the past couple days. So you go to shadowproof.com and read those. The Intercept is doing good work. I would also, surprisingly, I will champion Politico, which has had a live updates feed of the on the hacked Podesta emails. So that's a good way for people who want to figure out what is important from them, to go read them. Because if you just go to WikiLeaks, all you'll have is a list of emails and you have to mine them yourself in order to figure out what's important, which takes a lot of time.
It is, and some of it's quite amusing and interesting, and it's worth doing that as an exercise. But then, of course, we always appreciate the work of journalists like yourself and others who actually take the trouble to sift through them and make sense of them. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Kevin Gostola is the managing editor of Shadowproof Press. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ruwithsonali.